We heard earlier about Beaver County residents and activists protesting air pollution from Shell's massive new petrochemical plant along the Ohio River. It started up in November and has the capacity to produce as much as 3.5 billion pounds of plastic pellets a year to be used for products like bags, bottles, and food packaging. So what happens to all of that plastic once it's been used? Well, that's a global question, as global plastic pollution is projected to almost triple by 2060. So representatives from 175 countries met in Paris last week for the second of 5 planned sessions to hammer out an international agreement to reduce global plastic pollution by 2040. The goal of the UN's Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee for Plastics is a binding treaty by 2024, but it's been slow going. Some countries are pushing for international targets, and others on nation-specific goals. Another point of contention, should the focus be on new plastic production or on better recycling? To get a more local perspective on the treaty negotiations, I spoke with Sherry Mason, who researches freshwater plastic pollution and is director of sustainability at Penn State Barend. What's the scope of the plastic pollution problem as you see it, and what happens if the problem isn't addressed soon?
I think probably the best kind of way to wrap our heads around the seriousness of the problem is that the United Nations does rank plastic pollution second only to climate change with regard to our ability to survive as a species. That's the importance of it. I mean, you know, we try and put numbers on it, but the numbers are so large that I really think it's difficult for that to really have like a meaningful impression on people. Something like 11 million metric tons are dumped into the ocean every year. Even those estimates are really, really rough because we just don't really have good data on waste management practices. And then you get into, you know, well, the 10 most polluted rivers are all in, you know, like South Asian countries, which kind of has the implication that the problem is located there. But a lot of the plastic within those rivers is stuff that was shipped from the, you know, United States and UK. It gets shipped there for recycling. And just a lot of what is shipped for the purpose of recycling can't be recycled. And one of the points that they have been discussing that is just brought up in the way that I'm talking with you about it right now is a lot of people, when they think of plastic pollution, think of it as being an end-of-life problem, but it's not. The reality is that plastic starts to pollute from the moment that fossil fuels are extracted out of the ground, since 99% of plastics come from fossil fuels. And so one of the things, the very beginning of the negotiations that were happening last week was, how are they defining the scope of the problem? Are they only going to focus this treaty on kind of the end of life, or are they going to be much more inclusive of the entire life cycle and think of this as a problem from the moment of extraction through its life cycle to disposal and leakage into the environment?
Yeah, the countries didn't get into the meat of the issues until later in the week at the Paris negotiations. But this group, the High Ambition Coalition, which includes the EU and Japan and island nations, is pushing for global targets to reduce plastic production and the use of certain chemicals in plastic production. And other countries want to focus more on recycling, and those tend to be the oil and gas producing countries. How do you see this split in priorities? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to who's benefiting, right? And who's dealing with the outcomes. And so as there is a push worldwide to move transportation away from fossil fuels into renewable energies, right? Our own country is moving to electric vehicles. Fossil fuel industries are seeing plastics as their plan B. This is exactly why then you see countries that have a lot of investment in fossil fuels and are continuing this exponential investment in fossil fuels, they are pushing for this treaty to be focused on end of life as opposed to the production side, because they are seeing plastics as the way to continue our global addiction to fossil fuels and to support their industries moving forward and all the profit that they're making.
The U.S. is not one of the countries pushing for the mandatory reduction of plastic production, and it supports countries coming up with their own national targets for curbing pollution. What do you hope the U.S. will do going forward in these negotiations?
I'd like to see them reverse course, but I think that that's highly unlikely. I would like to see our national representatives look at the science. You know, the science is becoming more and more clear. Just this morning, I was reading another article talking about how there is a connection between plastics and the chemicals used in plastics and neurological diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So when you have that kind of science coming out, when we know that this is in our blood, our lungs, we know it's crossing the placental boundary and it's invading our children before they're even born. When we see that science, and this body of science is becoming every day just kind of more and more bolstered, I would like our representatives to look at that science and to act accordingly. As a plastic pollution researcher, I frequently get asked, and I like to say that I'm not anti-plastic. I'm anti-stupid plastic. You know, I'm not advocating for a complete elimination of plastics. I know it's a process. And, you know, I think most nations that are advocating for some kind of legislation around plastics production and the reduction in the chemicals that are used in plastics are focused on that. It's about turning the tide and really kind of thinking about what plastics we manufacture, how they're manufactured, and doing it in such a way that it makes sense.
When you say stupid plastics, I'm guessing you mean single-use plastics, like plastic bags, plastic straws.
Absolutely. That is exactly what I mean. 40 to 50% of plastics fall into this single-use plastic. So it's the bags, the bottles, the straws, the takeout containers. And these are all things for which we have readily available replacements.
And this is the stuff that you find the remnants of, right? A lot in the Great Lakes and in your research.
Oh, absolutely. We're in the process of finishing up a study where we're looking at the movement from plastics from land to water. And I can tell you the number one thing we find is plastic bottles. It's beverage bottles, you know, things like Pepsi and Coke and Gatorade and bottled water. And that's the number one thing. And I think we can find a better way to get hydrated than through the use of plastic bottles.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sherry Mason is a plastic pollution researcher and director of sustainability at Penn State Barend. The next scheduled meeting for countries to continue to work on the UN treaty to end plastic pollution is in November in Nairobi. There's more of our reporting on plastics at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.